Great time, and such a faithful people, the people that serve the children from the nursery, the little class and the older classes. It's like, I'm amazed at the faithfulness, you know, that they exhibit and how they care about it. And pretty soon, they're going to paint the nursery again, and it's going to be great. And it's to show love and honor to children, to small babies and their parents. So it's big. I want to follow up. Tonight, this is going to be interactive, okay? So it's interactive. You get to interact with me, and I get to interact with you, and hopefully you'll get to interact with each other. I appreciate what the worship team did already. I hate the spirit of fear. The Bible says it's a spirit, and it's a demon. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit. And I'm glad that the worship team sang that song and decided, hey, let's get set free from this. Jesus already set us free. We just haven't realized all the freedom yet in our lives. And there's more coming, you know. There's more coming for all of us. You're not done yet, right? And if you're disappointed in yourself, don't be. You're still growing. Lord Jesus, if you're not growing, you're not a human. And we need to call the government and turn you in as an unidentified whatever, alien person, right? No, you're still growing. And now some of you are growing in ways you don't want to grow, but I'm talking about spiritually, emotionally. Like Jesus grew in favor with God the Father, with man. In favor with God and man, he also grew physically and emotionally. He grew in wisdom and stature. And you're still growing and I'm still growing, so it's a big deal that we grow. And, you know, we've been talking about, a couple weeks ago, I talked about a lighthouse. And you know, that what Harvey said is really true. It's a psychological, physical reality in our lives. Guys, you are, something happens. It brings life to you when you're a part of bringing life to someone else. It's fulfilling. Way more fulfilling than money and stuff. You know, and last couple weeks ago, I talked about this lighthouse, and it's actually, this lighthouse is what I talked about. Remember, I told the story about the little dog, and I cried, and I didn't want to cry because I think that's dumb, but it was a great story. But the people that run lighthouses care about the men and women and the families of the people who work around the lighthouses, and those lighthouses help them to steer away from the rocks so they can be home. And guys, I want to tell you, when you reach out to others, when you share the life that God's put inside of you, you become a lighthouse that helps other people get around in the hazards, the traps, the things in life that are out there. And your light actually makes a difference in them. And what Harvey said about money is, when you give, you make a difference. When you serve, you know, when we have ushers and a worship team and all the teachers that physically serve here on Sundays so we can all be in the presence of God and give life to each other and to other people. It's a huge thing. And you want to talk about a fix? It's the best fix you'll ever get is serving and loving other people. It's an emotion. It's a thing inside of you that God created that He wants to be the stimulant to hit that. And not, you don't need a chemical stimulant because you got the stimulant. And so what I'm talking about today is how do we become? We want to be a lighthouse in the world. You want to be a lighthouse to your family. Absolutely you do. I've never met a parent that wasn't in bondage. I've never met a parent anytime that didn't really care about their kids and want the best for them. Never met one that wanted to be a lighthouse for their children, because you know the children are growing up in the world. There's a lot of hazards out there, and you want to be a blessing to your kids. You want to. And you know, you want to be a blessing to your family. You want to be a blessing. You want to be the one that they stand back at the end of your life. And you know, could we all be there where when we die, we all get to go to our own funeral and see people stand up and say, she made a difference in my life. He made a difference in my life. Do you know that's worth living for? And you know what the truth is? There's 1,000 stories like that in here right now, today. You know, and in a second, what I want to do, you guys know this verse. We did it last week. Romans 12 and 10 and 11, and 10 builds into 11, but I'm going after verse 11, right? So last week I read it. John says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God.'" It's not coming, it's here. Now has come, and the authority of His Messiah. And we've all experienced the power of the Messiah. And you know what? The truth is, what we want to do is we want to bring that reality. It's just like when we prayed about fear, what Kelly said was true. Jesus, listen to what it says. He says it in Revelation 12:10. "It's happened now, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down." Every version of the Bible says that in the past tense because it's already done. Jesus has already defeated the spirit of fear. Now, it just needs to be enforced in my life. I need to realize that. I need to have a revelation about that. I need a connection with the Lord that brings the reality of what He's already done into my present tense. And that's what we're here for. And so that's what we do. So it has been. It's finished already. And now this is the part we get to play. And this is what He says in verse 11. "They triumphed over Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." You know, it matters when I share the life that God's done in me personally. It matters. It turns on a light. It brings revelation. It brings an encounter with Jesus and other people. When you share, hey, you know, this is a question I have today I want you to think about. Has being a follower of Jesus, for those of us that already are, has being a follower of Jesus made a difference in your life? Reality. What difference has it made? You know, what that you decided to follow Jesus. I had I was looking for Dana. Dana's my sister, and we did a family dinner thing. We went to a Mexican restaurant, which it's us going to family dinners is hilarious. You want to sit by us and watch sometimes. Because me and my dad are both deaf, so we can't hear a word in those places. And we say weird things, and they just look at us weird, don't they? And I hear my older sister, Leah, she'll explain to people, "Oh, they can't hear. It's okay. They're really not weird." So what they say may not match what you're saying, right? And so there, it's funny. We go there. So I'm sitting across the table from Gary. And, you know, Gary goes here. Him, Dana and Gary does. And Gary goes here. And Gary said, now, Gary's known Jesus since he was a little kid, right? He has. I don't know how old Gary is. He's older than me, isn't he, Dana? Yeah, a little bit older than me. And he said, but something happened to him a year or two ago, and he started following Jesus. Now, when he's talking to me in the restaurant, I think what he said was, I was trying to hear him. I think what he said was, since I've been following Jesus, my whole life has been turned around. And I knew what he meant was something shifted. He was already a Christian, but there was a point in the last year, I didn't ask him what the day was or exactly when, but he said, something has changed, and now I'm a follower of Jesus. And this, and it's funny because you guys that are getting older, y'all know things start wearing out. Your hair starts turning white. Things just wear out. And Gary said, this is the best days of my life. I'm like, wow, Gary, what a great thing. Just because something's changed and you've become a follower of Jesus, not just a Christian. And I was so excited. So I'm going to give you guys, I would like a little help this morning. And a few weeks ago, we let some of you give a testimony about what God's doing in your life in the last few weeks, months. Today, I have another testimony. Some of you are going to volunteer, and you're going to come up here on stage with a mic and speak clearly into the mic so that we can all hear, and you're going to tell us what being a follower of Jesus, how that has made a difference in your life. Okay? So I believe the Lord can speak to you. And so I can only get a few of you up on a Sunday, any given day. But so Ricardo is going to be over here on the side. And so, Ricardo, you want to go ahead and stand up over there? Yeah. And like it's on the wall because they're going to come up. I'm going to make you stand there until I get ready for you to talk. And as you feel like, I mean, not make you, if you choose to stand there, that'd be wonderful. If you feel like the Lord's saying you're the one of the ones that needs to say something, go stand by Ricardo and Jennifer. Okay, Jennifer. That's my daughter-in-law, Jennifer. All right, and so we'll have a couple. And so the word of your testimony sets you free and sets captives free. And we call that reaching out. We call that sharing the good news. We call that evangelism. We call that loving people. There's a thousand terms for it. But the reality is, it's when you're sharing the life that you experience. You know, Pastor Tim said it last week when he was speaking, I can't share what I don't have. And I have this through my relationship with God. So I want to talk some about that. And I'm going to look at a parable. And the truth is, that's what happens. Your testimonies, right, built on the rock, His name's Jesus Christ, become a lighthouse that guides people through the storms of life. And everyone goes through storms of life. You know, and it's your testimony becomes that rock, the light that they can follow to make it through the storms. And so I want to talk about that. And I'm looking at, in Matthew 13, a very common parable. And in Matthew 13, Jesus told like 10 parables in a row. And He talked about the kingdom of God. And He shared the reality of what it looks like in the kingdom. And so He said that same day, this was after Jesus had done a lot of miracles, after He had fed thousands of people miraculously, all these things were going on. And it says that same day, Jesus came out of the house and sat by the lake. Now, a huge crowd of people gathered around Him. He got into a boat and He sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, then He told them many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow seed. You guys know this parable. You've heard it. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. I'll give you a hint. Don't check out just because you know the story. Because I'm about to read, part of the story is, listen, you can't understand this. It seems foolish. You already know the story. Why am I hearing it again? Maybe the Holy Spirit wants to meet you in the story. And there's deeper things in the story than just what's on the surface. It's just a story that Jesus told. And He says that. He says, still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And so the disciples came to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, this is just a story. We don't get it. What in the world are you talking about? Because obviously you're not just talking about this very simple story, which to them was very clear in their day. Why do you speak in parables, Jesus? And He said, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. So there's an us and the them here. And the us and the them is determined by you. Are you an us or are you a them? Am I an us or a them? I decide that because look what He says. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak in parables. Though seeing they do not see, though hearing they do not hear, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. Now as you read this on, And Jesus tells us something. Here's why. This people's hearts have become calloused. They've become calloused. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, they see, your ears because they hear. For truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Then he left the crowd, and he went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man," in another parable. Because there's some things I want you to see here. Okay, the first is this, the sower. Who's the sower? Well, obviously, it's the Lord. Obviously, it's the Lord. And that's what he says in chapter 13 of Matthew, verse 37, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." He's the sower. But I want to tell you, there's more to that. What seed did he sow? Well, the incorruptible seed. What seed was sown into the world? Well, Jesus Christ was the seed. God sowed his Son into the world. And he's incorruptible. He's unstoppable. He's eternal. And Jesus is the seed that was sown, that God sowed. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, when Paul talks about this, he says the promises were spoken to Abraham. Remember, Abraham had the promises that his seed were going to cover the earth? The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. I got that up there so y'all can see it. Oh. Meaning one person. But you know the truth? Jesus was the seed. But we are the many-membered seed. So not only does Jesus get sown into the world, God sows us. He sows us into the world. Okay? You're all sons of God through faith in Christ, Paul said in Galatians 3:26, "For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed." That's true. Now, you know what's crazy? He is the seed. We're the many-membered seed that Paul was talking about. Because the one seed came to produce seed that would cover the whole earth. And so, you know what God does with him, with Jesus? He sowed him into the world. Now, listen. None of us could have done what Jesus did. There's only one. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God. And he was sown into a very, 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 very difficult time in history and a very difficult place spiritually in the religious Jewish religion and underneath Roman domination in the history of the world 2,000 years ago. You know, the truth is, when God sows seed, you know how that worked, right? When their day, this is how they sowed seed. And Harvey told me when he was young, this is how they did it. It was about, say, 2,000 years ago, right? They would have a field that was prepared and for the seed, and they would walk around and they would literally sling the seed out. And now we have machines that put it perfectly exactly the right depth and the right space and everything. But then they sowed it. And when you sowed seed like that, every field, and even today in our world, if you go out in the crop fields or in where they raise cattle, the field is where the stuff grows. They'll have a trail or a road on edge of every field where the traffic goes, because you don't want people to walk on the field, because that'll make it hard and the seed won't grow. And so every field in those days would have a trail where the people that lived there and that traveled and worked would walk this trail around the field where that was prepared to grow the food. Now, when you sow seed, some of it falls on the trail. And it can't root. And it gets eaten by the birds. Guys, when Jesus was sown into the world, He landed in every bit of this hard, rocky, stony, thorny place. And in his day, how many followers of Jesus were there when he went to the cross? His disciples all abandoned him. It's just his mom and some of the women. Just some of the women. It sounds a little demeaning. It's not what I mean. Some women stayed with him. Amen. But the men all bailed. The men all ran. You see, Jesus, when he was sown in a really hard place. It was a beat. The religious world of his day had no room for him in it. And he stood up and he proclaimed the kingdom even though nobody paid attention. And everybody ended up leaving him. You see, when God sows Jesus into the world, he knew what he was doing and you couldn't stop him. And I'm going to tell you, we all get sown in the world too. You know what? You don't get to pick where you're sown. I'm sorry. You don't get to pick the generation you're sown in. None of us got to pick what state we were born in. That's where we were born. But I want to tell you that the life of God inside of you is greater than any situation or circumstance you've been sown into. Jesus was not stopped by the circumstances of his life. But it was hard. It was hard. And you know what? I think sometimes we promote people and we get lifted up. Oh, I didn't forget you guys. Don't pass out on me. We promote people based on the soil that God sowed them into, because they got sowed into really rich soil. It's all perfect, no weeds, no rocks, and they've just produced all this fruit. And then you've got somebody like Jesus who was sown in this. And we'd judge him. He wasn't successful. He ended with nothing. He even got buried in a borrowed grave. He had nothing. He had no family, no children. You see, I think God, and God knows, if I was sown in a hard place, that's why in my world dealing with mental health things a lot, I want to tell you, our diagnoses don't define us, and they don't determine the outcome of our lives. I hate it when we tell people that you're always going to be a loser, because that's what we're saying. You're always going to be a loser because you deal with whatever. That's not true. God's greater than that, because there's an incorruptible seed inside of you that's just like the seed inside of Jesus. They did everything they could to stop him, and they couldn't. Well, praise God for Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? The world may be coming against you, right? We do. I do. You may have everything in the world stacked against you, and it's true. You do. But I'm going to tell you, the life inside of you is greater than this world. Done. Done. And I want to tell you, becoming a follower of Christ will make a difference in your life. Right? Time for testimonies. Okay. The young lady. She used to be young. Now she's...
I'm also his oldest daughter-in-law.
My oldest daughter-in-law, yes.
So he gets to tease. So I was thinking, you know, about what my life right now would look like if I were not a follower of Christ.
That's good. That's good.
I would either be dead or I would be on a psych ward. So pumped up and full of drugs that really would have been my choices because of where I was going. 11 years ago, I had a nervous breakdown. And I was a hot mess. I felt real empty on the inside. And here's the crazy thing, guys. I loved Jesus. I loved him. I was going to heaven. Looking from the outside in, everything, you know, looked all pretty and nice. But I was a hot mess. And so I was going through freedom prayer, and it got to a point, right, to where I needed to forgive. And for me, that was a really huge deal, because I was deciding to forgive the abusers of my past. And I was like, nope, I'm done. You know, I'm not going to do that. And I just spent months in misery, right? And then at a women's conference I went to one weekend, I had a lot of Jesus time. And it was a choice between I can follow down this path. This can become what I follow, which was bitterness and anger and rage. You know, I was deciding that me, myself, and I would be enough, and I didn't need people. Or I could be a follower of Christ who would provide me with love and joy and peace and security and safety. And I have so much to live for. And so I made that choice. God, you're it. You're who I want to follow. And, you know, over the years, you know, it's fun to watch yourself grow. I've had fun watching me grow. And God has given me so much. It's like I look out here and I just see friends and family. And that's such a big deal. That's what being a follower of Christ is to me, is that he frees me and he gave me so much joy and love and peace. And he gives me a family. And that, to me, is the biggest deal of all.
Thank you. Okay. Come on, Scott. Come on, Scott.
I love every one of y'all. I just want to say that first off. And man, God is, anything that's happening in my life right now, I give thanks to God, because I would be having that needle in my arm somewhere. My mom probably wouldn't know where I'm at, and just I'd be gone, you know. And man, the work that God is doing in my life now is just, you know, I go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings every night. I do Celebrate Recovery on Thursdays, which I got baptized this last Thursday. When I came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came over me and I was speaking in unknown tongues. I did not know. It was awesome. You know, I at first it was kind of like, whoa, what, but man, it's awesome. Every day I still, you know, that devil still talks to me, trying to get me to veer this way or that way. And I just cast down all imaginations. I use scripture to cast down any time that, and he's I've got a job now where I can talk about God. I read the Jesus Calling to the brothers in the morning, and it's just awesome. I mean, I just can't explain it enough. Like, I got a whole roll over here of people that I invited to church, and that's all God. That ain't me. That's God working through me, and I love, man, it's just, it's covering a multitude of sins. Me winning people to Christ, and then it's keeping me clean, you know, and keeping me wanting to be a better man, wanting to be a stronger man so I can talk more, because I cannot stop talking about my God, because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm just going to keep on talking about him.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my seeds may fall on the rock sometimes, but, man, I got some seeds planted. I know. I see that, you know, and it's just, I give God all the glory, because it is not me, and that's how I stay grounded. I got a gratitude list. I just thank God for the air I breathe in the morning. If you can't thank him for nothing, thank him for the air you breathe in the morning, right. And man, it's just, it's awesome.
Come on, girl.
I love y'all.
Thanks, Scott. I love you, brother. Yeah, give me that mic. Lord Jesus. Okay, that's good. You know, he's the seed, we're the seeds. And then we also plant seeds. Isn't that crazy? Angie had a great victory. I know. She did. I already know about it, but go ahead. Okay, talk about something else. Okay.
I went to my surgeon this week. I had a hernia 2 months ago. It is completely gone.
Amen.
I am healed. I thought I was going to have surgery, but I ain't got to have surgery because I got my elders to pray for me, and it's healed. I'm healed. That's give
true.
God all the thanks. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Come on, Scott. Amen. Yeah. How many of you prayed for Scott's hernia? like, I don't know, six or seven of us. I know Harvey laid hands on it. I said, Harvey, don't lay hands on that. I was kidding. That was a joke. Go ahead.
This is hard to follow, so.
Yeah, you got like a minute.
Okay, gosh. Okay, what I want to say right now is that, you know, she was talking about freedom prayer. I had prayed about what to say, and this just came to me because freedom prayer has changed my life. I prefer to call it seed digging. But y'all, that's where my peace came from, honestly. Everything that it talks about it being, it is. So if you haven't done freedom prayer or seed digging, as I call it, you need to get some of that because it's very simple. It's something that you're just going to kind of giggle and say, yeah, this is not going to work. I do want to say one thing, and I'll let you have it. Y'all, I was on medication for schizophrenia. I am medically, clinically diagnosed schizophrenic. So I've been on medication, and we were doing prayer, and I take nothing. And let me tell you how funny. Let me tell y'all how funny my God is, okay? Because I couldn't sleep. So I was taking, I'll just go and tell you, I was taking trazodone, 100 milligrams to go to sleep. Well, it just stopped working. And I'm like, okay. The addict in me said, take two. So I took two. So then the addict in me said, take three the next night because you ain't sleeping. So I took three. So then I took four. And then I got to reading, you can only take 500 milligrams. So I'm like, okay, I ain't going to take it. And then I thought, God, you made that stuff not even work because I don't need it to go to sleep anyway because the first night I didn't take none, I slept like a baby.
Come on.
God is so good.
He's good. Thank you, Angie. You did good. Okay, Justin, last but not least, eh?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, Ricardo's last? Okay, sorry.
I love you, Ricardo.
Hey, save him a minute. Save him at least 1 minute.
Brother, don't ever feel bad for what you're doing right now. You're actually being a doer of the word. Proverbs 21:28, New King James Version. A false witness shall perish, but he who hears him will speak endlessly. So that's why you're speaking endlessly, because you really do hear him. I'm very proud of you, by the way. But my mission started at 17 mental institutions, you know, and the devil was trying to take me out. I really was living a Job lifestyle there for a long time, and he tried to take me out in a lot of the situations that God allowed him to do this.
Yeah.
See, he wants you to know how strong you really are. So when you jump out of a car at 55 miles per hour head first and you get reconstructive surgery, you really think you're a loser. You know what I mean? Or then you stab yourself in the gut twice, and they don't bandage you up, so you pull off the gauze and some meat comes out. And you got a legion of demons in you, so you cut this meat off with a pair of house scissors.
Bad idea.
Oh, 105 degree temperature.
Yeah.
Yeah, staph infection, idea. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And I never knew the endless supply of the enemy's treatment until I found the glorious grace of God that washed away all my sins. You see, and the Word of God is what we stand firm on, and the Word of God is healing. So I talk about the Word of God everywhere I go, no matter what. I just preach the Word of God because 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares over to him because he cares for you, Scott. And listen, you don't have to single out nothing if you just give him your life. You don't have to cast all your cares over to him because you care about your life, more importantly, because you can't do nothing for anybody else until you change your life. And so that's what you're doing. So you casted all your cares over to him already because he already cares for you. And now you're serving him, and he who hears him speaks endlessly. So I love you for being a doer of that word.
Cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. You see, we're a doer of the word when we don't even realize how much we're doer of the word.
Come on. Justin, good word.
Thanks.
Y'all just saw a miracle. Justin was exercising self-control, which is a gift from the Lord. Oh. Thank you. Now get off my stage. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Ricardo?
Yeah, I didn't have one through this morning. I just had one of my students for several years ago here today, and I'm a school teacher, and you don't know how much difference you make. But the thing that God showed me is that his decisions for the last several years brought him here. Hmm. And that, what God showed me, broke my heart. I said something to him a long time ago, and the first thing I asked him is, was I hard on you? And he said, yes. But I said something to him, and I believe it's true what I said then. But what God is showing me that his decisions for the last several years got him to the man that he Amen. Is now.
So. Come on. You can put it up. Do you believe you're making a difference? That you are Abraham's seed? I mean, God's promise to Abraham lands right inside of us. And the problem is, we don't know it. The devil tries to convince us we're not a light. And you can go on. I'm not going to read the rest of that story, but we might read it later, but it's really true. You know what happens? If your heart is callous, you know how callous is, you know how that path gets put in the dirt around where the seed just gets eaten by the devil? You know how that happens? When people walk on it. You know what happens to us? We get walked on. We do. Your heart gets walked on. And it 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 becomes harder and more compacted and harder till the very life of God, the seed of God, gets laid on your heart, and there's no room for it because you've already decided. It's just what Jennifer said it. She had already decided, I don't have to forgive. Well, you know who set her free? She made the choice to walk with Jesus and to forgive some very, 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 very hard things. And when she did it, that she had a hard, hard path in her heart where she had been stomped on. She wasn't just walked on. And some of you have had that too. Your heart's been so hurt, so wounded, so over and over and over and over again to where you're ready to never open it up again. And Jesus says, you know what? Trust me. Trust me. Follow me. Follow me. And you know what? You were created. He sowed you on purpose, and you think the darkness is greater than the light inside of you, you're so wrong. The light in you is greater than any darkness surrounding you. And Jesus, he said, listen guys, I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. I'm the light of the world. And we all step back and hopefully we all would say, amen, yes, praise you, Jesus, the light. And then he turned around and he said, now you're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill in a dark place that can't be hidden. And we're like, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to keep in my lane. I'm not going to make waves. I've already been hurt 3,000 times. I've been disappointed. I've been stomped on. You know, Pastor Tim says it like this, the world takes bites out of our heart. Well, Jesus said there was a path around that field, and I was throwing my seed. I put my son there, not by accident, on purpose, because the light inside of my son is unstoppable. And humanity, 2,000 years later, there's over 2.5 billion Christians in the world today. Unbelievable. Because one man said yes to the God. Now, some of us have been sown in hard, dark places. Maybe you don't have a great harvest. Your whole life may be a harvest of one. I don't know. It doesn't matter because it's about the light in you. And you know what? God chooses where to sow us. And then he turns around and he says, okay, now you guys go sow the word. You go. Go find a dark place to take the word. To your family, your friends, your neighborhood, your school system. Lord Jesus, you know? And you be the light in that place. And then guess what happens? Ricardo just experienced life because he saw a student from years ago who his light impacted a young man. And you know why Ricardo teaches? Because he wants to bring light to those kids. It's not the best paying job in the world, and it's sure not the easiest. Not now, is it? I mean, we have teachers here. You know how hard it is. But you bring light. I mean, do y'all realize how hard my job is trying to bring y'all light? It's like ridiculous. It's really not. Y'all are easy. Hard-headed, thick-skulled. You know, you ever wonder why I have such a big forehead? It's you. Because you say you're bad and I say you're good. You say it's hopeless and I say it's hope. And Jesus won't ever give in. And I pray Every once in a while, I get to see that light come on inside of someone. And when you see that, you can do 1,000 hard days because you had that one good day. God's inviting you into this journey. He's created us. We are the seed that God's spreading in the world today. And thank God, I'm glad of all the places where we're at. Thank goodness we're not all working at the same place in a little 12 by 12 room with just us. Because we know Him. God's good, huh? So guys, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I really do like it. Your testimonies built on the rock become the lighthouse that guides people through storms. What a great, at the end of your life, people are going to stand up and say, thank you. Thank you for being who you were. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you for suffering for me. Thank you for loving me when I wasn't lovable. Thank you for believing in me when nothing in the world believed in me. And I'm telling you, one word like that will change the world. So God's called us to be a light. He's called you to be a light. He's called me to be a light. He's called us to be a seed. And He's called us to be good soil. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Justin. Let's all stand up. Hi, Sharon. Let's all stand up because we want to do some things. I believe that God wants to set captives free. I believe He wants to heal broken hearts. It's not nothing to be ashamed of that somebody stomped all over your heart. That's okay. If you're a human, you've experienced that. Jesus says, open your heart back up. Open it up. Forgive. Be free. You see, and I was glad, Jennifer, you gave your testimony about that because it happens to all of us. And, well, you know what's bad? Most of us close our hearts silently and nobody ever knows. They never know. Listen, the world's depending on you. There's people in the darkness that need your testimony. You've got to open your heart. So let's pray. So Father, I just thank you for those testimonies. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the witness that every single one of us are. And God, I just pray for all of us that, so I think we've all got wounds in our hearts that we have been set free from. Some are still, we're dealing with. Jesus, I just ask that, God, I ask that you would come. That Jesus, you're the answer to the world and you're the answer to our own lives. So Jesus, I just ask you to come now. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, that are weary, that are burdened, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. If you're thirsty, I'll quench your thirst. So God, would you just open up our hearts, each one of us, and help us to be aware of what we need this morning. If your heart's hurt, if you need His presence, if you need Him, maybe you need peace. Maybe you need to sleep, like Angie said. Jesus is the answer. So I just want to, the front's open. We just want you to be able to come and pray and get ministered to, okay? So you got something, Miss Jen?
If you're one of those people that Pastor Allen was talking about, that what I was talking about in my testimony, where you just feel stuck, you're struggling in that area of anger or unforgiveness, I'm going to be right here, and I would love to pray for you. Jesus has something so special for you this morning.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for supporting each other. God bless you guys.